You are listening to The Activity Pod with Mel Kettle and Annette Jones, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, episode 15, we interview Lauren Bartley. Lauren is a social media strategist, podcaster, self-confessed geek, and mother of three. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/15. That's number 15 for episode 15. 15, wow. This interview was also recorded the day Annette was unexpectedly called away for an unavoidable and urgent business matter. We decided to continue on so as not to inconvenience Lauren. Annette and I were both keen to chat with Lauren, as her podcast, Business Addicts, was a great inspiration for this one. Lauren and I start this conversation talking about our shared loathing of housework and a very funny ironing mishap she once had in a hotel. We do discuss more serious things, such as using alarms, our health, and planning for deadlines. Have a listen, and if you enjoy our show, please consider giving us a rating and a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And then go and have a listen to Business Addicts, because their podcast is equally fantastic. Thank you.
Welcome to The Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Our guest today is Lauren Bartley from Impactivate. Lauren is a business addict, a social media strategist, speaker, trainer, podcaster, blogger, early adopter, self-confessed geek, on and off again fitness addict, and a mother of three. She helps empower business owners to use social media in conjunction with lifestyle marketing automation. Lauren is the creator of three online training programs: Social Media Success, Facebook Business Success, and Linked Business Success. And most recently, she has started a podcast called Business Addicts with her podcasting partner, Fiona Redding. Welcome, Lauren.
It's great to be here, Mel.
It's great to have you. I have a confession. Business Addicts was possibly the first podcast I ever listened to, and it was a real inspiration for Annette and I to launch our podcast. So thank you so much for starting, and also for your support that you've given both of us over the last couple of months while we've got ours up and running.
No problem at all. And actually, that means so much to me, and I'm so glad that I'm inspiring others, because I almost feel like I'm kind of paying back to what happened to me when I started the podcast, because as you're aware, Pat Flynn and Chris Ducker were major influences in me starting the podcast. Yeah. And I'm glad I'm able to give back and then kind of pass that love on to the next lot of people that learn from me. And then probably you'll be doing that for others in the future. So it's pretty exciting.
I hope so. Your that session with Pat and Chris at ProBlogger 2 years ago, I was in that room when you jumped up and said, "I'm launching a podcast."
Yay!
And I remember thinking, "I'm never going to do a podcast. That just sounds like so much hard work." And here we are.
Yeah, exactly. And that was me that day when I walked into that room. I'm like, "You're not doing a podcast, Lauren. Too much work, too much work, too much work." And it is a lot of work, but it's so rewarding, and I'm so glad that I did it.
And I just find the podcasting community is so supportive. I've asked so many questions in podcast groups on Facebook, and I've had people happy to respond again and again. And it's just, you don't see that a lot in business,
You don't. You don't generally. But having said that, I mean, you'd know yourself from blogging for many, many years that the blogging community is quite like that as well. And I think a lot of the bloggers, or some bloggers, have moved into podcasting. I suppose it's a similar culture that's moving through. But for the podcasting side of things, it's also this real uncharted territory. And everyone's been there, done that. They know how hard it is. They know the pain points and all those types of things. So they're more than happy to give back to others so they don't experience the heartache, because it can be tough.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Our first proper question for you is, how do you fit everything in? Because you do a long list of things.
Yeah, I do a long list of things, and I'm actually have no idea how I fit things in. Well, I do have some idea, but I surprise myself as to how I fit things in each day. But I think probably the biggest thing that I do is that I just remove time wasters from my day. Mm. So there's a few things that I just don't do. So you will never see me with an iron in my hand. I can guarantee you that.
me too.
I rarely wear makeup, and I've quite often just got my hair pulled back because those types of things just take up too much of your day. Yeah. And I've got better things to do. Sure, if I go out or if an event or I'm doing something like that, my hair will be nice and my makeup will be done. But the times when it doesn't matter, it just doesn't matter.
Do you find you schedule all of your out-of-office meetings for the same day so you've only got to do your makeup and hair once a week?
Oh, hell yeah.
So do I.
Or I make my hair last a few days. Or as you're probably also aware, I sometimes do my hair the night before. So
that gives me a laugh.
Doing my hair for me is just getting the hair straighteners out and straightening it. And I actually find that it's actually better the second day. So quite often I'll get up and do it the night before so that I get a little bit more of a sleep in on the morning if I have to be out quite quickly. So, yeah, removing time waste is a big thing for me. And another time waster I find is just watching television. And so I try to avoid that, although I do fall into periods of the Netflix marathon, which my husband's a big fan of, where we'll just watch Orange is the New Black, all three series in the space of, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But in general, I'm not someone who sits down and watches a lot of telly. I'm a go-getter that kind of, does just kind of keeps going. Yeah, so the other things I do, I suppose, because, when I say I don't do stuff, I'm not very good at cleaning. This is like confession time for me. So I have a cleaner. So I'm very good at tidying and decluttering and doing that kind of stuff, but scrubbing down surfaces and cleaning bathrooms and that kind of stuff, it just doesn't interest me, so I just don't do it.
We could be twins. I think I've used our iron once in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And I just refused to do housework. And not negotiable when my husband moved in with me before we – when we were in that trial phase of are we going to live together, one of my not negotiables was we had to get a cleaner because I wasn't prepared to do housework if there were two of us living in the house. He agreed. And fast forward a few years and we didn't have a cleaner for a short time, and I said to him, we need to get another cleaner. And he said, what if I do the housework? What if I do the vacuuming and clean the bathrooms every week? And I said, well, if you do that every week, then I'm happy not to get a cleaner. He's done it every week for about 6 years since then. Now he's complaining because I don't do housework. And it's like, you knew from day one I didn't do housework. You can't suddenly turn around, 12 years later and complain because I don't do it. I've never done it.
Yep. And that's a bit similar to me with the ironing. So my hate of ironing goes back many years. I used to actually be in the state team, Australian team for Lifesaving. We used to travel around and we used to have to wear these ridiculous scarves and stuff. Anyway, one day, we were getting ready to go out and we had to iron. And so I ironed there was no ironing board. I just had the iron. So I actually ironed my shirt and managed to iron my shirt and melt it to the floor. Melted the scarf, and then when I decided that I shouldn't be doing it on the floor anymore, I put it on the table and put some stuff down and everything. Anyway, I'm ironing on the table and the iron ran off the other side of the table, pulled out of the wall and actually broke and tripped out the whole hotel, and the whole hotel went into blackness. And I went, you know what? That's three signs that I should never iron again in my life.
That is fantastic. I absolutely love that. That's great.
Yeah.
So do you have a daily routine that starts off your day? And I'm assuming ironing the clothes for the day won't ever be on it.
No, ironing won't be. But I don't actually have a daily routine, but what I do have is every day I'm driven by my calendar. So that's kind of my routine, because the night before I go to bed, I actually look in my calendar and see what's coming up the next day. And then the next day I live out what is in my calendar. So I kind of plan out my week. Actually, now it's about a week or two in advance. So that really kind of freaks me out a little bit. But
are you a natural planner?
Kind of, but kind of not. I suppose I'm a bit of a control freak, and so it comes into the control freak side of things. And so I just know that I've got way too much on my plate. I've always got way too much on my plate, and so this is the way that I manage it, by I just time block and I say, okay, rather than writing a big list of all the things that I need to do, I kind of do that as well, but I then transfer it into my calendar and I say, well, if I'm going to actually achieve this, when am I going to do it? And that really helps me from a routine point of view. I prefer not to have to plan a week or two in advance, but at the moment I have to do that because I've got a lot on my plate. So I do that. I have the another ritual that I probably don't like to admit to is I actually, as soon as I wake up, I reach for my phone and I check my email and my Facebook and those kind of things for about 30 minutes in bed, which I know everyone tells you you shouldn't do, but for me, it works.
I do that too, and so have many of our guests that we've had on our podcast prior to you. So you're not alone with that at all.
So like I was trying to think, you know, what a ritual potentially would be, and that's definitely got to be a ritual, but it's also a problem in as much as it's so easy to just reach for that all the time. So one of the things I'm doing at the moment is actually limiting the amount of time that I check the social, you know, the different social media platforms and my email. And so some people might say this is too frequently anyway, but I'm limiting it to 4 times a day. And for me, that's an improvement. Mm. So that's – I'm trying to – kind of install that ritual into my day, and it's kind of working at the moment. And then the only other rituals I suppose I have is around my kids, because I have to get up and get ready for myself and for my children and see them off to school of a morning, get them, you know, out the door, make sure they've done all the things that they need to do. And then when they get home of an afternoon, so I'll, you know, make them their afternoon snacks, have a chat with them, see how their day's been, have some time with them, and then I kind of go back to work for another hour or so, depending upon what the day is. So I've kind of find that, you know, I see them out the door of the morning and then it's like I'm on this episode of Ready, Steady, Cook. And I've been given a certain amount of time until they're coming back in the door, and off I go like a mad crazy woman trying to get everything done. So every day is a little bit of a race for me, really. It's probably actually, yeah, like the Amazing Race. And it's like, here's Lauren attempting to do all this stuff. Kids come back and then hang out with them for a bit, might do a little bit of work, and then I become the mum's taxi again. So they're my kind of rituals. And then layering over the top of that, I have I actually exercise frequently, not that you'd know it looking at me, but I'm at the gym 5 to 6 times a week. So I do 2 mornings at 6 a.m. and then 2 evenings and then once or twice of a weekend, because I have to look after my health, because that's really taken a back seat over the years.
That's impressive. I've just joined a gym after many years of resistance of the gym, and I probably joined for the same reason that most women do. The scales tipped to a point that was unacceptable to me.
Yes.
And none of my clothes fit me with the exception of a pair of pants I bought in the US last year.
And oh, your fat pants?
Well, I didn't think they were fat pants, because they're actually a size smaller than all of my Australian bought clothes, thanks to the beautiful US sizing.
Yes.
But they're the only ones that zip up. So, and you can only wear them so many times, and they're not appropriate for work meetings, damn it. So, but I'm struggling to fit in going to the gym. So clearly I need to make it a priority and put it in my diary.
Yeah, you definitely, if it doesn't go in your diary, it doesn't happen. And I'm actually quite fortunate at the moment, because I'm actually doing this program where I have to front up for it. So that's another incentive to make me do it. But I was at that stage where, you know, I was outgrowing my fat pants, and I'm like, you can't outgrow your fat pants, Lauren.
Yep.
It's just not acceptable. So, and that's the thing about, you know, being a business addict that I am. You know, I put on in the first year of my business, I put on 10 kilos. Second year, I put on another 10 kilos. Next year, I put on almost 10 kilos. And then I lost 10 kilos and then I found them again or something like that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And it's just, it's over the years, it's just gone up, up, and up. And unfortunately, in the last 12 months, it's gone up and down, but it hasn't quite, it hasn't gone, you know, back
down
to where it was
enough
a year ago.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, this next 12 months is all about taking it back down. And I'm really trying to prioritize that, because you just have to.
And when you get older as well, I found when I turned 40, I couldn't lose weight as easily as I could in my 30s. And now I'm nearly 46, and it's like, Jesus, what have you got to do to lose a kilo?
You just
have to look at food and I gain it.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep. Definitely.
Crazy.
Yes.
So apart from your calendar, which is such a great idea, what else do you do to help you stay focused so that you get stuff done?
Well, I automate a lot of things that go on in my business. And I suppose this is, you know, part of the way that I fit things into my day as well, in terms of, you know, I've got autoresponders like most people have when they have an opt-in and that kind of thing. But I also just try and, where possible, automatically respond to things that, you know, like kind of make an assumption of what people might want in some of the responses I give to them. So, for example, let's say you fill in a contact form on my website, then you'll get an automatic response coming back saying how long until it is until I'm going to respond back to you, and then saying, oh, if you're looking for this, 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 or this, here's your answer. So kind of hoping that people will, you know, that will answer their questions. And quite often it does, and then no further contact is required, which is great.
Yeah.
And then things like when people ask me about, I've got a training program, FB Business Success Now, and I get a lot of people asking me about the program when I'm out and about at events or whatever, and I say, oh, yeah, I'll just drop you an email. And then I basically, because I use Infusionsoft in my business, I just take a photo of their business card. The Infusionsoft app then goes off, a real person actually types that contact details into my Infusionsoft database, and then I apply and I just add a tag at the time that I take the photo of that, and then I hit submit, and then it waits till the next business day and 15 minutes, and then it sends them the information they're after. So it looks like I got into the office the next day and said, oh, okay, I'm gonna send you that email now. And off it goes to them.
Oh, that's
but I haven't
so clever.
Done it. It's just been automated. So I do a lot of stuff like that that kind of just cuts down the amount of time I have to be doing the things that are repetitive and not so much like my zone of genius and the stuff that I should be doing on a daily basis. Mm. So I use things – so all of my stuff talks together too. So I use Xero for my accounting. And I use a tool called Zapier, which allows Xero and Infusionsoft to talk to each other. So when someone buys one of my online training programs, then it sends a zap to Xero to say, here's all the contact details of the person that's just bought this program. It automatically goes into Xero. Whereas when I first started, I'd have to, you know, at the end of the month, go and find all the people in Infusionsoft that had bought and then go and put them all into Xero and do that kind of stuff. But I don't have to do it now. It's all automated. So it's pretty cool. And things like another tool I use that integrates as well is Appointment Core. And so I use this for the podcast. And I also use this for anyone that wants to do any coaching sessions with me or anything like that. And basically I just hit a button in Infusionsoft, it sends them off my calendar, and then they click on the calendar and they pick a time, and then the calendar, then they get an email that goes straight back to them, and that email then will have either the Skype details and all everything they need to know to set up the appointment for the podcast. It'll actually put a calendar entry in my calendar and a calendar entry in their calendar and calendar entry in Fiona's calendar as well. Or if it's for one of my one-on-one meetings that I might be doing for some coaching, then it will send a message to GoToMeeting, and GoToMeeting will automatically create the meeting and put the entries in both of our calendars as well. So stuff like that, super cool.
That's fantastic. How much time do you reckon that would save you?
A good few hours a week. The best thing is that using Appointment Call, for example, if someone can't attend a coaching session that I've got, they get an email 48 hours before to say, hey, here's a reminder that your coaching session is in, you know, 48 hours. Remember, I have a 24-hour
cancellation policy.
So if you need to reschedule, here's the link. And so then they can go and reschedule. And so I quite often have that where people will get this 48-hour reminder and they'll go, oh, God, yeah, I've got too much on. I can't do this. I need to reschedule. And they'll just automatically do that. And then suddenly that appointment that was meant to be in 2 days for me has been pushed back 2 weeks. And for some people they might think, well, that's no good because you've just prolonged this. But for me, whose calendar's usually like brimming, it's fantastic. And for me to not have to deal with people ringing me up the day before and going, oh, I really can't make it tomorrow, or the morning of, can't make it today, and then having to look, match calendars and do all that kind of stuff, it saves me hours per week for sure.
I love that. I'm going to download that and give that a go. That sounds fantastic.
Appointment Core only, I should mention that Appointment Core is a plugin that works with Infusionsoft. I'm not sure how well it's going to work if you're not using that tool,
okay.
But you can use other things like Calendly
There'd be other tools that would be similar, there's other tools that can do that.
And the more you can integrate your stuff, the better. So I definitely love Infusionsoft and all the integrations that come off the back of it. And then the other thing I use is Asana. So I use that to do all of my just my tasks and my task management. And so I've got a team, so it's not just me. And I suppose I should have mentioned that when you said, how do I fit everything in? I do have other people that work for me. And so for the podcast, for example, I used to, when I first started, I did everything from start to finish, as you're probably doing, Mel.
Yeah.
And yep. Now all I do is I decide who the guest is going to be, and I do the research on the guest, and I interview the guest. That's yeah. now my involvement with the podcast. And but what I do have is I have someone who helps me, and it's all mapped out in Asana. So we have a template in Asana for the podcast, and there's about, oh, it was about 35 steps. It's probably about 40 steps now. So there's like 40 things that need to be done on every single podcast, and they're all in Asana, and we just put in who the guest is going to be, and then there's the 40-odd steps that we've got to do for that, and that just gets ticked off. And sometimes I'll tick some of those things off, and sometimes, you know, the other team members. So, but it's I know at every point in time where we're at with every guest, because I can just go straight into Asana and look at it. Mm. So I use it for the podcast, and I use it for all aspects of my business, and to assign tasks to team members rather than sending emails, because emails are a nightmare. Yeah. You know, we've all got too many emails in our inbox, and if we manage our day by our emails, then we're not going to be efficient at all. But if we've got this one tool where it all goes into, then that's great. And I'm not perfect at it, and our team's trying to work better at it, because we do still have email communications backwards and forwards, but it can actually cut out internal communications if you use it well, which is good.
I think I've fallen in love with that tool. I'm going to have to give that one a go as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I must admit, like, I also love the notepad.
Yeah.
So I have Asana, but I, on a daily basis, I look at Asana and I write down the one big thing I need to do each day and a couple of other tasks.
Yeah.
Have sitting beside me at my desk, and sometimes some things get written on the paper that don't actually make it to Asana, because it takes you longer to put it into Asana than it does to actually do it. But yeah, so the notepad also kind of complements that really well.
I like that. Yeah. I'm a big notepad girl as well, but I, lots of things to think about.
Yes. And actually, I thought of something else also, alarms. Alarms are a really good thing for me too. So I think I listened to one of your podcasts. You were saying that you have an alarm that goes off frequently to make you stand up. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Every 35 minutes.
Yeah, alarms are great for me, and because I have like so much going on, and when you're managed by your calendar, you need to know when it's time to move on to the next task. Mm. So I do have a lot of alarms and alerts and those kind of things that go off to let me know that it's time to move on to the next thing, because quite often I'll get really engrossed in something and kind of forget. And I actually used to, I don't anymore because my kids, now that it's warmer, the kids are walking home from school of an evening, but I used to have an alarm to tell me that I had to go pick my kids up because there had been one or two occasions, actually probably only one, where I kind of got a phone call from a friend at the school gates going, are you coming to get your kids today? Because I was so engrossed in what I was doing. That's, you know, just, yeah.
I've got many friends who set alarms to remind them to pick their kids up. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
But, you know, my getting up every 35 minutes, that stemmed from listening to your interview with Chris Ducker in one of your early podcasts, where he said he had a lot of physical health issues because he wasn't moving. And that combined with some back problems that I'd been having and a visit to my back lady, who said to me, once you turn 40, your muscles start to atrophy if you don't move them every 40 minutes. And I just went, so many things are clicking into place here. And those things all happened within about a 48-hour period. Me listening to Chris, my back starting to spasm, and her saying, you need to be moving. And I just thought, the only way to get around that is to set an alarm to go off every 35 minutes. And she said, all you have to do is do 3 or 4 sit to stands, and then you'll be right. And then you can get back. So you don't even have to walk around your house or move for more than about 30 seconds, but you do just have to do that short, quick movement.
Yeah. And I don't do enough of that. I must admit, I have times when I sit for way too long at my desk. Like when I said, you know, from pretty much 8:30 to 3:15 for me is that amazing race of trying to get some stuff done. Quite often most of that will be spent sitting at my desk, which isn't healthy.
And that's the same with me. Like the other day I was editing a podcast, and I sat for 4 hours, And then I went to get up and I thought, oh my God, everything hurts and everything's stiff and I can hardly move because I'd forgotten to set my alarm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like many busy people, I'm sure there's times where you really struggle to stay focused and you lose your mojo for what you're doing. How do you get it back?
That's
interesting. Do you lose your mojo?
Oh.
And just suddenly think, oh, it's all too much.
I'm not sure if I necessarily say I lose my mojo. I've kind of been a business addict all my life, so I am like, it doesn't take much to get me fired up about doing stuff. Mm. But when I do find that I'm kind of stuck at something, you know, or I don't want to do something but I have to do it and that kind of thing, I find the best thing is to talk. So I'll talk to my team members or maybe business colleagues or some of my friends and just kind of just talk. Like, and sometimes it doesn't even need to be about the issue, but just kind of start talking about something and see where the conversation goes. And quite often what I find is that there's something in that conversation that usually inspires me to get excited or motivated to work on what I need to be doing right then and there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what that one thing is that it kind of inspires me to do, just as long as it inspires me to get started. Because usually if you've lost your mojo, you can't be bothered, you don't want to start, you don't know where to start, all that kind of stuff. You just need to start. Mm. And so for me, that the advice of just getting started isn't enough for me. I need to do that thing beforehand, which is to just talk to someone. Yeah. And you know, have a whinge, have a bitch, have a moan, have a whatever you need to do, have a I don't understand how to do this. And quite often you'll come up with the solution or the other people will say something that you go, oh, that's so blindingly obvious. Why didn't I think of that? I should do that. Yep, great, off I go.
And often I find just talking about it clears my mind and makes me realise that what it is that I need to do, or it I find the solution.
Yeah, or that you realise that it's not as big as you're making it out to be.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. How did you transition into your own business and in social media from your background in sports management?
Oh, well, I had my own business prior to starting up Impactivate. So how that all kind of came about is I was living in the UK and prior to that I was living in Singapore, and I came back from living overseas, and I was 6 months pregnant and with my first child, and I was, you know, full on already a business addict, even though I didn't have my own business then. And I was like, well, I need to be doing something. And I saw this job and it was working and master swimming 20 hours a week, just doing some coach development stuff. And I've come from a swimming background, love swimming. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. 8 hours a week, that sounds fine. So I arrived back in the country 6 months pregnant and started work. And then after I gave birth, I found out about this other job that was 8 hours a week, and I was like, oh, I could do that too. And so at that point in time, it didn't make sense to have two part-time jobs, so I started up my own business, which was called Sporting Matrix Consultancy back in the day. And then I got myself a third job, and then it was kind of really difficult, all got too hard, and I thought, well, I'll just take a break from this. We're going overseas. I'm going to take 3 months off. You know, I had this great vision. I'm going to take 3 months off. And then as soon as I kind of resigned from all of those jobs, and at that point I was also the job at Master Swimming, I was the CEO of that at that stage and doing the other two jobs. So I resigned everything and thought, I'm going to just take some time off. And then I got asked to do this 3 month contract, which I'm like, oh, okay, well, I won't take the 3 months off yet. I'll do the 3 month contract. Then I'll do the month that we're going to do in the UK. And then I'll come back and have 3 months off. And then that contract ended up being bigger than Ben Hur. And I ended up becoming the executive officer in that role, also as a contractor. So anyway, it was kind of the sporting thing as a consultant was kind of working for me, but it was a day job kind of thing. I was kind of doing day job roles as a contractor, and in the role when I was in Master Swimming, one of the things they got me to do was to try and attract some of the youth into the sport, because the Masters Swimming, it's kind of like a bell curve of membership, and they were all getting older, and you can imagine how they were dropping off at the end of the bell curve. Mm-hmm. And not enough people coming in at the beginning. And so they were like, well, we need to kind of attract some of the youth in. And I'm like, have you heard of this thing called Facebook and YouTube? And they're like, my board at that point in time, they were kind of like 50 odd, is probably being polite in their ages. And they're like, never heard of it. That sounds good. Can you go check that out, Lauren? So I did. And I fell in love with social media, and I used that to help grow the membership for Master Swimming. And then when I moved on from that role into the new role that was meant to be a 3-month role but ended up being much bigger, they had no, that was a startup, and they had no money and no budget. And I'm like, have you heard of this thing called social media? Maybe we can use that to help us. Mm. And so then I kind of found that all of the other people from a sport perspective were then coming to me for social media advice and assistance with that. And I'd always had a marketing bent to everything I'd done in sport. I'd always taught, and I'd always been really techie. So like I used to build websites, and I used to do all this kind of stuff. So social media kind of collided with all of the skill sets that I already had, and it just kind of went from there.
Hmm.
That was a bit of a long-winded answer, wasn't it?
No, but that's, you know, that's often what it's like.
Yeah, and it's like
no such thing as a straight line.
Didn't exist when I first started out.
Yeah, and that's very similar to many people's experiences, I would say, in social media, because it's such a new thing that most people who work in that space started out doing something and then sort of just fell into it through circumstance or through creating opportunities by using it.
Yeah.
Like you have. Yeah. We would like to give a huge thank you to Kylie Miller from Duo Sister. Kylie is a freelance graphic and web designer and the first sponsor of the Activity Pod. And she is responsible for our fabulous logo and artwork. Thank you, Kylie. If you are looking for a graphic or web designer, then look no further than Duo Sister. You can find Kylie on Twitter at Duo Sister, DuoSista, or www.duosister.com.au. Thanks again, Kylie. So you've started your podcast called Business Addicts. Do you think a business addict is born or bred? Nature or nurture?
Well, for me, I can probably only speak from my experience, but I think it's definitely nurture. But then at the same time, it's nurtured through the people that gave birth to me. So maybe it's inherited. So I definitely get my business addiction from my family. My mum is, I don't know if she thinks she'll like me saying this, but she's 69 and she still works full time. And my dad, he retired at about the age of, I think he was about 60 at the time, maybe he was a bit younger. He retired at the age of 60 and then opened up a new business the following day. And so
that sounds like my dad.
Superannuation, and then he opened up a new business the next day. And so, yeah, I had a real, I suppose my business addiction didn't necessarily come from business. It part did, because my dad was a small business owner and he worked from home, and I'd see him working all the time and long hours and all that kind of stuff. And I have replicated that in my life, which, you know, some would argue is not such a good thing. Mm. But I think the main reason that I am the way that I am is actually from my sporting upbringing. And the reason being is that when I was competing in swimming and lifesaving at up to an international level, and I was training, you know, up to 10 days a week, that doesn't make sense, 10 sessions a week. So it would be the 5 a.m. starts, and then after school you go to swimming as well, and some nights you'd be swimming, some nights you'd be down the beach doing, you know, board practice or whatever else it might be, and competing most weekends. But I was also at a school that had a lot of homework that you had to do. So I had to just really jam-pack my life, you know, every single little gap that I had into getting things done. And so my homework was often done like on the train on the way to swimming, or it was done, you know, as soon as I got home from swimming, we'd have dinner and then it'd be homework and then it'd be bed. And like there was no downtime. It was just every minute of my life was packed full of, you've got to do this now, this now, this now, this. And that really has made me the person I am in business now, because I just go, 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 and jam pack every hour full of stuff, which isn't necessarily a healthy thing. And I'm not saying that as a brag or anything like that, but it's just the way that I am. It's the way that I'm built in. And it frustrates the hell out of my husband at times because he likes to sit back and take things slow and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that's a waste of time. We should be doing this. Yeah. We've got this to do.
Yep. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. So it's nearly the end of the year. What would your advice be for business owners who want to map out 2016? What do you think they should be thinking about first? Should they be goal setting?
Goal setting, definitely goal setting. If you don't set goals, then you're not going to achieve. But I think more so than just looking at how you're going to set your goals, I think you need to really block in some time to review them because that's a lot of people, they set their goals at the end of the year and then at the end of the year they look back and go, so how did I do? And it's like, yeah, not very well because they haven't set in regular times to review it. So I actually put in my diary one day a month when I have blocked, because, you know, I love to block time. I block time when I say this is the time when I'm going to go back and see how I'm doing and review my goals. And I must admit, sometimes I do bump those appointments and I have skipped a few months throughout the year, and sometimes I might have skipped a few months because I didn't really want to face up to how bad that month had been. But, yeah, set your goals and really map out the big things that are going to happen in the year. So one thing I didn't do particularly well this year is I set my goals for the year, but I didn't take into consideration the fact that our family was going to go on a month holiday. The dates weren't confirmed at the beginning of the year as to when we were going to do it. We were actually going to do it over the Christmas break, but we ended up bringing it forward and doing it in September. And that threw my whole year in terms of, well, not my whole year, but the second half of this year has been like real catch up. And that's why I'm so busy now, because I took that time out, but I didn't plan to take that time out. So really look at everything that's happening. If you've got launches, all those types of things, and be like, block in more time than you think it's going to take, because things always take longer than you expected.
Yeah. That's my biggest, probably my constant source of frustration is planning I'm a big week planner as well. And, you know, for example, yesterday I thought, I had a teleconference and I had some preparation to do, and I thought the preparation would take me an hour and a half max. The teleconference would be half an hour, hour max. Well, the prep took me 3 hours and the teleconference went for two.
Mm.
And I just thought, that's the majority of my day is gone, and I haven't even looked at anything else that I need to do.
It happens.
Preparation is key. And it's having that contingency built in as well for when it does all go a bit pear-shaped.
And that's what you've just described to me, that happens to me a bit, where I have to prepare in advance of something, where it be a presentation or whatever. The one thing I never, ever do is leave the preparation to the day of the event, because of the fact that things take longer. So let's say, for example, I'm doing a presentation this evening, let's say. I'm doing a presentation this evening. I go, you know what, it's only going to take me about 3 hours to put the presentation content together. I'll do it 9 a.m. in the morning. Now, if I do that, chances are it's going to blow out and take up most of the day or whatever. So I put it the day before so that if it does blow out, then there's room and there's buffer for it.
Yeah. I normally do the same. However, I was providing feedback on a document that I didn't get till 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
I hate that.
And I thought, there's no way that I'm looking at this over the weekend.
Yep.
Because that's just time for me. And I had a few work things to do on the weekend, and that just didn't fit into it. But yeah, I'm like you, I do a lot of presentations as well. And if I get to the day before and the presentation's not at least 75% finished, then I start having a bit of a panic attack and thinking, I'm giving it tomorrow and I'm not, you know, it's not all in my head yet, or it's not all, you know, on the screen.
Yeah.
I like to have it done well in advance as well.
Yes. Yeah. And there's nothing like a deadline to make things happen too. So the other thing I find also is that I don't start things too early either. So that's kind of, there's this middle balance, because if I start things 3 weeks before they're due, they'll take me 3 weeks to do them.
Same. Yeah, same.
Whereas if I start them knowing that the presentation's tomorrow night, I'm doing it the day before, like I have a deadline there that it can't go any further than that. You know, that's, yeah. That exactly. seems to work for me. I work well under pressure and that kind of thing.
I'm the same. And I was listening to a speaker recently who said she works well under pressure as well, and she knows that. So she will block out, you know, the 24 hours or the 12 hours or 3 hours or whatever long it takes to do something 1 or 2 days before that thing is due, because she knows that she'll spend all of that time productively. Whereas if she spends, locks out 3 hours 6 or 8 days before it's due, she'll faff around and still have to spend the 3 hours the day before exactly. it's due doing it. Yeah. Totally. And I'm very much like that as well. Yep. Yeah. So do you have any big goals for next year or for the next 12 months for your business or personally?
Yeah, so, I haven't quite done my goal setting for next year yet. I usually don't do that until late December. But the big thing I want to do, my online training programs, particularly my FB Business Success Now program, I really want to step that up a notch in the next 12 months. So I'm actually working on that now. So I've just done a new launch of that program, and I've completely updating the program. I have to actually do that every 6 months, yeah. but I've actually done it in a way this time round that's going to make it really a lot easier for future updates. And so my big thing next year is really going to be to promote that program and get more people in doing it. Because, you know, I've actually got quite a few people that have done it through the various rollouts that I've had over time, but I know there's so many more people that would benefit from that program that don't know it exists. So I really need to do my marketing on that a whole lot better moving yeah. forward.
Well, send me the details and we'll pop them in the show notes for anybody who's listening who's interested in finding out more.
Cool, thanks.
Are you a big goal planner, sort of 3 to 5 to 10 years in advance?
No. No.
Well, there's my next question, because I was going to say, where do you see yourself in 5 years and how are you going to get there?
Oh, no, I have visions, but I don't have goals, if that makes kind of sense.
It completely makes sense.
Yeah. So I definitely know where I want to be. So for me, I want to speak at a major conference, and Social Media Marketing World is probably one of the conferences that I'd love to speak at. But there's some other things out there, like I wouldn't mind doing something from a podcasting perspective. I spoke at ProBlogger last year. I'd love to speak at ProBlogger again. That's a big goal of mine, yeah. You know, on the big stage in front of everyone yes. kind of thing. Yes. Yeah, that would be great. So I've got goals in terms of the speaking side of things, and also in terms of my the lifestyle that I want to create around my business. So I've got 2 team members at the moment. I'd like to grow that a bit more and be less hands-on. So actually have, at the moment, I'm the subject matter expert in my business. I'm also the marketer. I'm also the business strategist, and I'm also the technical person. And when you're those 4 things in your business, you are stuck in your business.
Yeah.
And so I've got like more of a techie person involved now, which is great. And I've got more of my staff are doing more client work, which is fantastic. So they're becoming more of the subject matter experts. And then if I can just build that a bit more so that I'm more of just the strategist in the business, then that would be fantastic. Because I've actually got my hands in a few other businesses and pies as well. So I want to be less operational and more strategic in my own businesses.
That's a great goal.
Yeah.
/ vision.
Yes. And then that allows me more time to do the things that I really want to do with things like focus on my health and my family and that type of thing, which have taken a bit of a backseat over the last couple of years.
Mm, yeah. I think that's a common issue with most people that are business addicts. Yeah. You're so focused on the business that you can often forget, you know, what the really important things are in life.
Yeah. And I'm so fortunate that I have the most amazing husband and fantastic kids. Like they're so supportive of me, and my kids, they understand, they really understand. And so like the other day I had to record for one of the modules in my training program, and I'd had a few technical issues during the day, and it meant that whilst I blocked the whole day to record, I was ready to record the minute that they walked in the door from school. And it was only an hour of recording that I needed to do, but I just said to the kids, I said, look, guys, I'm really sorry to have to do this to you. I do need to record for an hour. We're going to do this, 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 and this tonight because we had to go off to soccer and do a few other things. And I said, but I just really need an hour. Are you okay if I set you up in the back room, you watch a movie, you do all this kind of stuff? Because they wanted their downtime anyway, and they were just going to do that in the main living area. And I said, can you do this? And then they were like, yeah, Mum, not a problem, fine. And then I did my recording, and then we got on with things, and we had a brilliant night after that. But and so it's I'm so fortunate that I've got that. Like,
do they listen to your podcast?
Well, some they have listened to some, but I don't actually. They actually listen to your podcast.
Oh, so oh, thanks, guys.
Because I listen to podcasts in the car. Yeah. And quite often I'll listen to the podcast when the kids are in the car. I try not to, but sometimes I do if I'm really into something or I want to, you know, just finish off what I was listening to on a previous trip or something like that. And so they listen to other podcasts because I don't listen to mine a lot.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah, in the early days I probably made them listen to a few and that, like – my eldest son in particular, he thinks it's pretty cool because he wants to be a YouTuber when he grows up, which, you know, we're going, oh, how are you going to make any money out of that? But, you know, this kind of like, yeah, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Does he watch Survivor? Because in Survivor series, not the current series, but maybe one or two seasons ago, one of the contestants, his profile was YouTube sensation.
He doesn't, but I have to tell you this. My middle child, when we went to the UK just recently, everywhere we went, he was like, oh, my favourite YouTuber's been here. Oh, my favourite YouTuber's done this. Oh, my favourite YouTuber's done this. And it's like, who has favourite YouTubers? But, you know, that's classic. Just the next generation, isn't it?
I love it. I can tell when my stepson's been here by looking at our internet usage.
Oh, yeah.
It spikes from all the YouTube.
That's like my youngest daughter. Like, I get to my computer and all the recently viewed things are Barbie videos.
Oh, that's really cute. So my final question for you today, Lauren, is what is your top tip to get stuff done?
Okay, so it's got to be focus on the one thing that you need to do for that day. And so this is really top of mind for me because it's something I've kind of always done, but I just recently read the book called The One Thing. It's by Gary Keller and it's called The One Thing, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. So I highly recommend, you know, all of your listeners to go out and read this book, or if you're like me, get the Audible version and listen to it. And the thing that he just says the whole way through is you just have to keep asking yourself, what's the one thing I can do right now such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? And if you just keep asking yourself that over and over and over again, and then block the time to do it,
yeah,
then you're going to be successful.
I'm guessing binge-watching Nashville on Netflix won't appear on the list.
Quite possibly not, unless your one thing you're looking for is that, like, big TV ass.
Or to be the next sensation in country music singing.
Yeah, quite, maybe. Yeah, so really do that. And for me, so it comes back to blocking the time and then not only blocking the time but really focusing on using that time block to the best of its capacity. So really not just going, oh, okay, I'm going to do this and then, you know, kind of pretending you're doing it, procrastination, all that kind of stuff that comes in. And for me, I'm a creative person and so I need to be doing something creative each day. So for me, whether it's, you know, working on one of my online training programs or preparing a presentation or writing a blog post or doing a podcast, like I have to be creating every single day. Mm. And that for me is if I look at my day and I look at my time blocks and there's no creativity in any of them, I'm like, there's something wrong with today. Today's just not going to work. And you can always see at the end of the day, if I'm not in a good mood, it's usually because there's been no creativity. It's all been reaction stuff rather than the real proactive stuff that I need to be doing that's going to make, you know, everything else easier or unnecessary.
I think creativity is just so undervalued in the business world and in life in general. It's what makes everything tick, regardless of whether you self-identify as somebody who's creative or not.
Yes.
Everyone needs creativity and definitely. And you know, and the arts, I believe, in their life.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, on that cheery note, thank you very, very much for joining me today. Before we go, where can our listeners find you and where's the best place for them to connect with you?
So I'm Impactivate, which is spelled I-M-P-A-C-T-I-V and then the number 8 on all of the social media platforms. And you'll find me at impactivate.com.au and you can also find me by via Business Addicts, and that's businessaddicts.com, and we're Business Addicts on most of the major social media platforms as well. So they can listen to the podcast if they want to, if they're business addicts themselves, or reach out to me on any of those social media platforms. More than happy to have a chat. I'll only be doing it 4 times a day though.
Thank you very much. That's great.
You're great speaking to you, Mel.
Talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes, together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod, or tweet us at theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode, where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.